You're listening to the Crowdfunding Nerds Podcast, a podcast that will help you succeed before, during, and after your crowdfunding event. And now, here is your host, Andrew Lowen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Crowdfunding Nerds. I am your host, Andrew Lowen, and I am joined, as always, by Rick and Sean, my fantastic crew. This episode, we are joined by a special guest, Jeremy Howard with Jambalaya Plays Games. He's a social media community personality. He is a video previewer for Man vs. Meeple. In this episode, we're going to discuss what matters most on a Kickstarter page, including his amazing insight on how a Kickstarter page should be laid out to convert well. Talk about his three scroll test, which is important, and we talk about community presence. We talked about the differences between reviews and previews. We talked about how you can find great reviewers and if you needed reviewers with a name or, you know, all sorts of other things like that. You know, Jeremy challenged me in a way that was just really encouraged me to move and hustle. I hope you guys enjoy it. Here we go.
So when you go to a Kickstarter page, what are the type of things that are you looking for? What are the type of things that make you sort of purchase?
I was like, there's a lot of levels to this because, of course, I cover a lot of Kickstarters. So sometimes it's really like I have working knowledge. But I'm going to use this example because it was a project I was excited about a year ago. It's Primal, because I was pretty attached to it and I was excited. When I was excited going into the project, I played the game. I did the preview for the game. I loved the game. So it confirmed my hype as a person, you know, a person going in before the job came to me. Then I looked at the Kickstarter page. When I look at a Kickstarter page, I do this thing called the three scroll test. So I go past the video. I feel like videos are so useless most of the time. So I skip the video. I do this long scroll with my finger. Then I go through a Kickstarter page about three scrolls. And I'm really looking for a lot of information about the game. I need to know, what am I buying? First of all, what am I buying? What is this game? And I need information to tell me, hey, like, you know, what is this, a campaign game? Is this a solo UBO game? What's give me something that describes the game in a nutshell or sets me up for the world it's in, you know. But still, I need to know what I'm buying. What's the story on this game? Even a game without story, what is the story? Like, why am I buying this? I do want to see components. I do want to know what I am getting, and I don't want to look too far for the best part, which is, how the heck does this game play? I need to know how the game plays. I should know what the game is, you know, generally what components are in the game. And I often find the biggest one being not telling me how it plays or explaining the mechanic that makes this cool. So let's say it's like Rurik Dawnakia. They have action programming. I want to see that, like, real quick. Innovative, when people say innovative, like, and they don't show me until halfway through the page.
Right? Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. But in the case of Primal, you can go three scrolls in. They decide to lead with these gigantic art pictures and one gigantic plastic miniature. So clearly they want you to see this awesome, grandiose picture. They also had testimonials on the second scroll. That's actually a really good idea, to have little tidbits of his testimonials right away. And especially if they're great testimonials, like, they give you exact information instead of very general comments. And that's important, you know, based on like the people you pick. Like, you're looking for people who would generally have valuable opinions about the game and not just, let me just grab the hottest people or the ones that get the most views. Like you got to find the right people to speak about your games. Like, even if you send it to MVM, Man vs. Meeple, you should pick somebody because you know that they know how to talk about these games. They've covered these types of games so that they can speak specifically to it. Like, I play campaign games. Most of the guys don't play campaign games. I play solo games. If it has a solo mode, you probably want to contact me. But maybe Jeremy might do it now, yeah, because he's played a lot of solo games this year, you know, and he's a better editor than I am. They did a decent job of explaining what the game is. By highlighting certain things, which I like highlighting words that make sense, like deck crafting, boss battler experience. Well, I had people who said this in the tabletop group that was too bland, but at the same time, I also had people that are like, that's clearly defined, which is true to me, because deck crafting is different than deck building. But some people merge the two.
Right.
It's different. They put things in the deck. You don't have to buy them. They just go in your deck, so you can change the makeup of your deck. You don't have to buy cards in that game. But you got to explain that to people. And that's where this game this Kickstarter page fails at. It has a campaign. It has a one-shot series of events. You know why I know that? Mm-hmm. You know why I clearly know that? It's only because I played the game. Up until the last day of the campaign, people still don't know what the campaign is. There's no example. There's no full-on details. There's no, hey, here's the lore. Let's go deeper into the lore. There's a lot of explanation about the mechanics of a boss. And that's why you have 9,868 comments still asking questions.
Yep.
What am I getting? And they're very lucky that this game has a, you know, it's geared toward us. They defined an audience. They pushed it towards that audience. And they did it with beauty and, you know, and content. But until you tell them the rich world that you're putting them in, until you tell them, here's an alternative to that rich world, then people just start picking you apart on details. There's no details. So they didn't have the details.
Do you think that they could have explained a lot of this in like in a playthrough video of or like a sample campaign video? Or do you think that...
So the system of the game, like how the game works, is, I mean, it's so far down the page. It's so far down the page. It's way down there, man. It's way down there. I mean, they explain it. Like, the thing is they do explain it, but it leads to more questions the way they have it. Just very little information. And it just leads to, instead of saying, hey, I'm trying to lead you to ask more questions, it's like very wide open, very general. And this is a very expensive product. It's just not clearly definable language.
Really what you're saying is demonstrate your product to me and make it happen as quickly as possible in as simple a way as possible. If I have to watch a 5-minute video to see the cool mechanic versus a 2-second GIF, you're going to do better with that shorter GIF.
Or just give me 5 minutes. Dude, give me five minutes.
Have it versus don't.
All
right?
Relevant. Don't give me the beautiful, you know, forest monster coming out of nowhere. We see the hunters hide behind bushes and they come. I don't care. Show me the game.
Yep.
Don't give me a 3-minute trailer that looks like a video game. We're not playing a video game. What does the board game look like?
Yeah.
You know, like, show it to me in motion. Show me the mechanics. And then it's like, now I'm hyped because I know. One thing that Primal did was a year before, they had one of the playtesters. I believe he is a playtester. He played the game. And he talked about the card system, he talked about little parts. Now, he was a smaller content creator, so a lot of people didn't see it a year from now, but I did, and I was hype about it. Like, you send information to King of Average, you send information to the right people who actually talk about these games, and like, if that was King of Average, like making little snippet videos, more people would have watched it. But like, his name is Wait Your Turn. He did these awesome little quick videos that were showing like little components, and I was just like, that's awesome. Like, I got an idea of how it was. Another game did that. Sheol, by the way, great campaign because they were very realistic and funny. It was like $300,000. They were very serious. Like, we're not playing around. This is an expensive game. They did their own videos. They did quick cut videos to show each mechanic in the game. And they did a great job. Before this launches, I really should have a feel. If I have a captive audience, like if I know I have an audience already, really make that stuff clear. Get them excited by showing some gameplay or like how a mechanic works that you think is interesting, full of buzzwords. Show it.
Yep. And you know, I kind of feel like it's, as a marketer, I can pay Facebook ads and reach the right people and bring a lot of people to the Kickstarter campaign page. I can, you know, let's say I'm a videographer. I can put together a great playthrough video, do everything I can. But the best marketing by far is to activate your rabid fans so that they answer the questions. You know, that's what exactly. That's really what I want to do, is educate. And that's kind of my whole deal with Deliverance that I've been doing is, you know, I did a digital convention a month ago and had 60 players play 20 games of Deliverance. That's 60 over 60 people that now know all sorts of things about the game that are going to go to bat for me when a troll comes out and says, oh, a Christian game or what, you know, whatever. It's like, it's going to be somebody says, oh, actually it's a good one or whatever, you know. And it's nice that the creator didn't say, you know, give their biased opinion,
like it's got all this Christ stuff in it, whatever. Like, I know, but it's like, people experience the game and those conversations can be had, and you also can get some feedback. And you're like, oh, see, I was going to present this message this way, but now people are saying it this. They're not digesting the message that way I want, or they're not, you know, you start to hear it. You go like, okay, this is what people are hearing, or this is how people are feeling in response to this. This is
absolutely good.
Like, I need to know this now. You know, or I need to know, wow, that was a very critical response. Because sometimes when people are very critical, you know that, like, there could be 50 of those people. And
right.
You need all 50 of those backers. You need 47 of them at least, right?
Yep.
So it's like, I need to be prepared for that kind of questioning or very visceral kind of response. You're like, man, geez, man. You know, I've been working on this game for years. It doesn't seem like it's play tested. This doesn't make sense. And it's like, you ask them why and just be prepared for the good, bad, and ugly, right? And that way, you know.
Whenever somebody talks trash in a way, you know, and I won't say talks trash, because what I really mean is whenever somebody's critical of your product, it's really natural to get defensive. You know, you're like, oh, yeah, it is play tested. I play tested this over 700,000 times, you know. And really what I consider those things are, they're kind of buying signals. If you're able to really address what their concerns are, they will no longer have those concerns. And all of a sudden, one more objection to buying your product and supporting you is out of the way.
You have to listen to what they're saying. Like, just what are they saying to you? You also don't want those people dismissing your product, you know, either. Like, because they become the marketing before the market. You know, like, they, you know, the people before you put all those dollars out there, they become the people that, like, help you, you know, get on the pavement and go back to these groups and be like, oh man, I played that. That's awesome. Or if you put like an open call for playtesting now, like just like an open call and say, hey, this is available, da 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 da, they can be like, hey man, I played it. It was awesome. You know? Or hey, you know, like I said, you know, I was a little worried about this being a Christian game and like, man, I played it. It's like, it's just a good game. You know, like that, people just need to know that.
While we're kind of exploring the topic, I have this concept called hygiene factors. And the definition that I like to use all the time, hygiene, you're kind of marketing yourself. If you brush your teeth, if you comb your hair, if you dress nice and that kind of thing, you know, even if you drive a nice car, whatever, none of that is going to help you get a ring on a girl's finger. Maybe sometimes. Let's just axe the nice car and whatever. Let's say you brush your teeth, comb your hair, whatever, right? That's not really...
No, I'm feeling on it. I'm there with you.
Yeah, so that's not going to help you get a second date just because you brush your teeth. However, it will hurt your chances of getting a second date if you fail to do any of those things, right? So if you fail to brush your teeth and you breathe in your date's face or whatever. So I kind of relate this concept to Kickstarter and really marketing in general, but on a Kickstarter campaign page, there are hygiene factors. If you have these things, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to help you, but if you're missing these things, it will hurt you. So, for example, defining shipping. You know, everyone knows shipping to Australia is expensive.
Right. How are you approaching the expense of Canada? Of, you know, why are you not delivering to this country?
Right.
Well, you are. Why is it there? That's why you held it back, because it's so expensive. And like, You got to understand, backers are going to take offense to that because they're putting money in your pocket. They want to know all the information. And the second they feel like you're hiding it, you're doing it on purpose. You're doing it the wrong way. Backers can be, you know, a little extreme, but they're also telling you what you're missing.
Now, a question for you related to these hygiene factors. You know, what do you see most often is missing from a typical Kickstarter campaign, you know, in relation to hygiene factors? I'll just mention one that I see missing all the time, and I have no idea why people would come to Kickstarter without this, which is a playthrough video.
I totally agree. How to plays are, I mean, like, they're mandatory to me too, right? We don't want to see how it plays. And sometimes people just do that through GIFs and they hire somebody to do it. Great. Those are beautiful. What does the game look like in motion? Sometimes those lack examples of the game and movement just as much as your Kickstarter page does. And one thing I try to do when I preview games is show the game in motion a little bit. Sometimes I even take like a turn or two just to give you an idea. A game like Primal, I tried to give it like a moving example, so it made the preview longer, which you worry about people being turned off by. You know, they don't retain, like, want to stick around for that kind of stuff. But I just felt like that's a better service to others. You know, like if you hire Mike, one-stop co-op shop, he will play the whole game. You know, and then he'll make a separate video and then make that'll be his preview video. You know, like, you got to find these people. Like, that's why Rado makes so much money, is because he plays the whole game, or he plays a lot of the game, and he's having a conversation about the game while he's playing the game. You know, he's giving you testimonial why he's playing the game. You know, the thought process. There's more choices here than meets the eye. You're seeing like, oh, okay, he's explaining this car. Now I know how the cars work. That's the thing. You're looking at a video, a GIF, and now you're looking at him processing how the card works. And you're like, oh, okay, now I get how those cards chain together. All right, that makes sense. They weren't doing it right on the page. Or they're not creating a situation to make you understand the choices. Like, give me something more. Play through the game. And if you can't hire somebody to do it, why don't you do it yourself?
Yeah.
Bargain Quest is one of the most successful Kickstarters in board games. You know why? Because a designer played the game.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't make sense. He played the game. He played it on his kitchen table. He played it three-handed. I mean, he knows his game. He should. He's passionate about his game. He should be. And that's great to me. I remember that, you know, just as much as Shut Up and Sit Down made him sell out of the game. It's also the fact that, like, he just played his game. And I just love, I remember that just because he was just such a genuine person that you can tell that he loved his game.
Awesome. And, you know, and kind of related to review videos, the idea is that you need a reviewer that has clout in the industry. You know, Man versus Meeple needs to review it, or Rado, or Dice Tower, or, you know, Jesse Anderson with Quackalope now is kind of becoming a big deal, or, you know, Dan King. So at least some name that people have seen before, Rodney Smith, how, you know, Watch It Played or whatever. Those types of things are awesome because, you know, they have name recognition. But do you really need a reviewer with a name? Or, you know, like, what about up-and-coming reviewers like Koss, Ismail, or something like that? Can somebody who is a high-quality reviewer without as much of a name do what needs to be done as far as kind of that hygiene factor is concerned? Or are you going to kind of hurt the, we'll say, like, the bottom line if you fail to include a reviewer with a name?
The answer is yes and no. And once again, you're trying to find the right person that can get the most eyeballs on the game. You also got to realize there's a brand to it. A lot of the higher level previewers are not going to take every job. Matter of fact, I mean, I just rejected 5 projects this morning. Straight up. Like, I just did it. Like, I just did it. Like, up until I looked down at my phone and I just clicked on no real quick. Because, like, I just, like, I reject more of the projects. And, you know, same thing, you know, Richard, I know him and he rejects 80% of what he sees. So you may even want to pay and they don't want to do your project. So now what do? I'm just going to take that as the case. Some people assume that they pay a boatload of money and then we all just line up. That's not how it works. You got to find somebody with the right audience. You got to find someone that you can communicate what they're going to be doing. You know, like, if you're going to send something to Alex from Board Game Co., you are going to get a review, not a preview. And there's two different languages right there. Like, there's two different types of content there. So you got to make sure that's clear, because if he says yes, you could have potentially a bad review on your Kickstarter page, or a lot of feedback, you know, just a lot of feedback that's going to be out there. You have other people who are just previewers who have outstanding equipment, outstanding editing, and that's great. It'll show your project in the best light, but you also got to make sure that they give you still valuable information, you know, valuable feedback that's got clear words in it other than like, this one's awesome. It's going to be, this could be a big Kickstarter for 2021. Like, I don't need that. That does nothing for me. I make sure that I say things that are either quotable, or I will send you a quote that is exactly what I want to say. Like, I want that to be what I'm representing, how I feel about the game. Because I don't want to have a Kickstarter comment where it's just like, you know, it was fun and I think the turns were interesting. That still doesn't say enough. Like, it doesn't say enough. Actually, every once in a while, it's like, man, I don't feel comfortable representing this game. Like, I do not want to have to answer questions about this game. It's not good.
Yep.
And I just honest that way, and I want people to know I'm honest that way. And I believe 95% of people are that way. It's just finding the right people who will give you what you need versus like finding people and paying them. And that doesn't mean they have to have 30,000 subscribers.
Yep.
Jamie, would you ever review a game that, I know you say you only review games that you like, but do you not think that a good reviewer would even review games they don't like and they'd be able to articulate that? Or what's your opinions on that?
Okay, so let's go back. Kickstarter previews are prototype products that are not finished. I will not review a Kickstarter product. I will create a video that shows how the game is played with turns and examples and give a quote for your Kickstarter page. A review is when you're done with your Kickstarter, year and a half later, you send me the final copy of the game and then you're asking me to make a critical review of that game. That is two different separate things.
Okay, cool.
I mean, now we're breaking into two different things. So let's say I played the game. So let's say the publisher sent me a copy of Primal. They sent me a full-on, they were like, I know you backed the game, but we want to send you the full lot or whatever, right? I'm not even going to have better working knowledge to say, like, they didn't change this and I don't like it now. I, this is a flaw that I saw in the game before and they didn't change it. That's unfortunate. You know, I'll still talk about the things that I play. I'm like, man, this car play is still good. And even in this expansion over here, it's great. You need to try this one. Like, I'm going to do that. But if it's just a normal game that I haven't covered, I'm going to be critical. Like, I'm always going to be critical. I have no skin in the game to lie to anybody. I don't mind covering games that aren't perfect. You know, like I went on Duke of Dice and we covered Dune Imperium and Lost Ruins of Arnak. And I was just, you know, I was critical of both the games. And I love both. But they definitely have glaring holes and they're definitely different games and they don't communicate their mechanics the same way, you know. And I need to clearly define those things in two different ways. Like, I need to be clear. I like to give clear information, clear positives and negatives. And then I try to get a little bit of the gray area in there. That's where people, they get respect for you, to be honest, to be detailed and be thorough, even if, you know, just about a game that you love or a game you think is okay or a game that you don't like.
When I think of certain reviewers that I tend to disagree every so often, for example, I think Z Garcia hates games that happen to have like some minis and some standees. So you've got, you know, Gloomhaven is this way and whatnot, and Z will complain about that. I don't mind at all. I actually think that that's awesome. In fact, it's something that I'm doing for Deliverance. You know, you get the deluxe edition, you're going to get minis for the angels, but you're going to still deal with standees for the, you know, the little demon minions and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I know that he's just going to say that. And so as a, you know, that maybe that bothers him. And as a fan of the Dice Tower and kind of what it is that they do, I understand that. And even though I disagree with his, you know, on that particular point, it's not going to detract from my interest in what he has to say about the game. You know, right. It's just like, oh, of course he'd say that. You know, what else does he think? You know, and bringing it back to the target market. You know, I always talk about the target market. It's, you know, you need to define who you want your game to be for, right? Yes. You know, do you want your game to be for gateway people or the mass market or like heavy hobby people that are down to spend $500 and, you know, on a boatload of minis and whatnot? You know, define that. But also, you kind of need to define your target as far as the reviewer too, right? You're not just gonna, like we've been talking about, you're not just gonna send a really light game to a company, you know, a company that goes by the channel of heavy cardboard, right? You're not going to send a game that doesn't have solo mode to the one-stop co-op shop, that doesn't have co-op and that kind of thing. But, you know, as a person looking to seek out reviewers, let's say for myself, you know, I've got Deliverance, it's a kind of a dungeon crawler and that kind of thing. I've just kind of been around in the industry a little while, so I know people that like co-op, campaign, dungeon crawl, skirmish, whatever games. Right. How does somebody that maybe doesn't have that expertise figure out who likes what? What would you say would be like a shortcut to figure out who likes? I mean, do we go into like a Facebook group and say, hey, I have a game like this. Yeah. Who wants to review it?
So there's board game reviewers and media. There's a Facebook group for that. I also just say do the work. So let's say you go to board games and media and reviews. Just depending on how like beautiful the game is, you know, like maybe they're a fan of your game. They see it pop up. They're like, oh, my God, now it's time for the previews. Oh, my God, I got to do it. Right. And then you'll have general interest. So you'll have a lot of people come. You know, a lot of people come out first day, you'll have a lot of response, and that's awesome. Now you got to do some serious research, because this is where your money's going to go. This is where your value's going to go. So that's not money. Mm-hmm. It's really like where you're going to get the most value. You got to watch some of their videos. You may have watched some of their videos before, but you may be digging to see what type of games they've covered that are similar to yours, or at least in that area, so you can get a figure of like, they kind of ragged on this one because it has dice combat. Mm-hmm. If I were to have them, I need to let them know that this is a dice combat game and they want to cover it. You know, like, that's the thing. You're like, I like their style, but I wonder if they would like rag on it a little bit because it's dice combat. You got to do that kind of research. Or you can just kind of take a leap of faith. You're like, all right, I'll take a leap of faith on this. This seems like a pretty interesting person. I like the way their passion is. I like the, you know, where they are. I mean, that's what happened with people like me. Like, I didn't have a lot of proof of concept anywhere. I didn't have, you know, I had a blog at the time, you know, and it was just like people could tell my passion through words. And then when I started doing video clips, then everybody kind of got an idea of who I was, you know, my voice, my, you know, my presentation, my, you know, what I sound like, what I feel like. You have to figure out, you know, like that person's reach. Do they just post links and they're gone? Or are they, oh, like, I've seen this person everywhere.
Yep.
You know, because that's free promotion. You know, yeah. Like, you know, you may not have paid, you may have paid Rado for his thing. And by the way, bigger reviewers are not going to be on those pages. They're not. So you know who they are. You know where you have to go find them. They have their email. They have a business. So that's just a different level,
right?
They're not going to be on the board game reviewers page. They don't have recruiters or anything like that. It's just like, hey, we send the emails, you get the marketing sheets or whatever. So it's like, once you do all that stuff, you still got to do the research. Like, if you're going to come to MVM, who is going to do the preview? Or are you just sending the email to MVM? And even now with Rado, like, he has two other people now. Yep. You have to dig. You have to dig. If you got five kits, those have to be five personable, valuable kits. And then I'll have a couple more that are mid-campaign because I need that. And a lot of people, like a lot of Kickstarter people don't do that. I'm like, you got to have someone that's like close to the 15-day, you know, just to kind of get some more visual traction.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, you know what? Instead of doing a preview for this, like just do a playthrough. Like there's people who do stuff live. Find those people for the second run. It's like, hey, I'm going to get this to you in the first week. Just play it. Like play it next week, you know, on to your audience. I don't care if there's eight people in the chat. If you convert two, that's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, like just live. Just let live people do it. You know, let the other person that knows how to do Kickstarter, you know, get coverage in a crunch. Mm-hmm. They don't care about having, you know, they don't have stuff lined up like me for a month and a half.
To kind of piggyback off of that, let's say you only have five units of your prototype that you can send out. So like you said, you want to hit the big ones, the ones that are going to give you the biggest bang right at the beginning and that kind of thing. Maybe you contact them 3 months out, send them the game, you know, after they agree to take it on. A lot of the time, they're willing to send the game wherever you want afterward, right? So you could theoretically have 20 reviewers lined up after your big five review it, that, you know, the guys that you pay or the ones that you're more, you know, that you're willing to roll the dice on. Maybe you've got four or maybe all five copies of the game that you can, that they were, that will then ship out to someone else. As long as you pay for the shipping, yes, and that kind of thing, they'll send the prototype wherever you want. And that can be to another reviewer, right?
Yeah. So think about it like this. This is you doing the work, just as valuable as your Kickstarter. Like, it's just as valuable as those first five people. Cause it's like, how can I use these kits to maximize like my covers? Like, you should not have your kits. Like, they should be gone. Like, they should be gone. You know, like, they should not be in your hands. Get whatever coverage you can. Like, just don't put anybody under a crunch. Cause that way you'll have the most value of their time, and you'll get the most attention, and you know it's banked and it's ready instead of like up against it. You know, like now you get like more of a cycle. You just have so much opportunity. And I think that's what people are failing to see. There's a lot of opportunity as long as you do the research and get more activated. And then instead of like waiting.
Yep.
Don't wait.
So Jeremy,
you know, don't wait.
How long do you like, or how much notice do you like when someone sends you a game for you to, you know, look at it and get a video out? What's the sort of time frame are you talking about here?
I would love it if your project is 3 months from now and I have a kit 6 to 8 weeks ahead of time. Like, I would like that. I would love that. Even if you're not telling backers that you're about to announce their, you know, your date or anything like that. It's like, hey, we're going to have a Kickstarter launching on June 8th. We want to get kits out early. We just need to know if you're interested in that. Send them a rule book, send them a media kit, send all the things you want out there and just say, hey, take a look at it. Take a thorough look. This is what we're trying to do. You can even say, hey, you know, this game has these bullet points that I really want to set. Like, you're giving them all this information. You're giving these people that are going to cover your game all this information because you got to get them sort of hype about it, right? And then they go, okay, oh, cool, I'll take it. This is the deadline that we're looking to have content by. And you know what? It's a month before the Kickstarter. And you know why that's cool? That's interesting. It's clearly defined. And if they can or can't, let's say they can't finish their commitment, or they can do it, it's gone. Like, now you can get it to the next person. Like, you can get it. You can get those two kits to 8 people. You paid 3. You have another 2. And then you're like, maybe I can just put out another call for reviewers and see what happens. You know, previewers and see what happens. Yeah. And then you may have, you know, like, the kits should just be gone. They should all be gone.
One person that I have met in the industry, his name's Rob Geislinger. He's actually been a longtime fan of Deliverance.
It's a really good friend.
Yeah, that's awesome. I got to meet him at Gamma last year. And Rob was hot off the heels of a Kickstarter that raised like $1.2 million. I can't remember what it's called. It's it's like a city building game related to Rome.
Yeah, it's Foundations.
Yeah, Foundations of Rome. I kept thinking Glory to Rome, but yeah. So he was, I actually sat down with him and we were talking about, you know, what did you do? Because he's a great marketer. You know, what did you, and he works full time for Arcane Wonders now.
Marketer.
He told me, you know, reviews like dropped every 2 or 3 days. Every 2 or 3 days, we had stuff going on. We never, you know, people make the biggest mistake when they just make everything drop like on the first day. Then you have a big blip of traffic on day one and then nothing after that, you know.
He's so right. Like, I listen to Rob all the time. Like, when we go to, when I go to Indy and stuff, I stay at his house. And, with Julie from Gamebriar too. They're both insanely great.
That's awesome.
And I talk to him at least a couple hours about that when I go there.
Let's say you wanted to send some stretch goal stuff. I have some publishers that we work with will actually get their copies made straight from the manufacturer in China. They'll be, you know, whatever, the 20 airlifted copies.
Like, or ship them or something.
But a lot of people, myself included, wouldn't be ready to print, you know, even 5 units from a company in China and send them out as review copies. Maybe the quality would be higher, but a lot of people make their copies themselves, or, you know, combo Gamecraft or Print Play Games, what, you know, whatever sites. What quality do you want to see the prototype? And what do you think is really kind of required, like the minimum quality level required for a preview for Kickstarter? Curious about your thoughts on that.
It's really what you want people to see. The best of what you want people to see. And maybe you can't afford that either, right? Like, if you have a miniatures game and it's going to have a crap ton of miniatures, can you at least give me 4? Can you give me 4?
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me one or 2 characters that are miniatures? And it's a cooperative game. Okay, so just give me 2 of the 4 characters that are in the base game. Give me something that people can hold and say, hey, this is a miniatures game. You know, you don't have to have a whole bunch of boards. You can just send it on really decent cardboard, like real decent board of some sort, or real decent paper that's nice and thicker to present your product. Like, you know, try not to have hand-drawn stuff. Send the bits. You know, like try to send something that can visually represent your game properly. That's all. That's what you want. Look at, you are a backer of games. By the way, back games, please. Even if you back them for $1, nobody cares. They just want to know you're backing games. What you have seen when you're backing games, one thing I didn't like about Primal was that they had all the first level cards for all the characters and all the miniatures for the base in like one and two big monsters. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Yeah. But one thing I would have loved for them to send, if you're going to have a campaign, and you only send me level two cards, and it's, even if I can't use them all, like, show me what a level 4 and level 6 card looks like. So then I go like, oh crap, like, this gets real crazy complicated. And it's pretty cool. Like, it's got a long game to it. It doesn't look like the same icons, or there's 3 icons on here. So I know, like, oh my God, the massive change that you can create. Like, now I can talk, like, that's visual. People are going to see it. They're going to see me talk about it, and I'm the person that's playing it, so I can have a good idea of where it's going.
That's awesome. So your previewers, your Kickstarter preview creators, you know, the video creators, want to help you. So you need to help them cast your vision. Show them what the vision is going to be so that they can cast it to their audience. Is that kind of summed up?
Yeah, sure. Like, summed up, communication. Find the right people that are going to give you the right message. Regardless of size, you want to make sure you have a mix of it.
Though, yep.
Right? A mix of it. You also want to make sure when you are sending them or requesting them that you're giving clear communication, or like, hey, this is details. Like for Primal, they said, hey, people are saying it's like this game. We want to make sure that they understand this is different because X, Y, Z. And I can agree with it or not, but at least I have it in my head, like, this is what they're trying to communicate to you. You know, like, I may not even say it. I'm like, I'm not saying that. But I at least know what you're trying to communicate to me. And then I can, you know, at least work with that mentally and figure out how, you know, whatever, if I want to say it or not. But you also want to have time and clear deadlines. And also the expectation. I need this video done by here. This is launching here. You don't, please don't share the, like, yeah, please don't share the Kickstarter date. Here's the media kit of some of the art. Now, don't, it's not final art, but I figure I just give you enough to show the cards. Some people like us, we actually use the cards and use them digitally versus taking pictures of them. You know, if we can, you send it to us.
That's a great point.
Hey, I will even ask you, can you give me some cards, like some actual cards instead of like just pictures? Like, I need the cards. I can like do something cool with them.
Jeremy, one thing that we try to stress with people going to Kickstarter is building a community around their game and getting people, you know, hyped about their game. We know that's something that you really stress. So would you have any tips for independent board game developers on how to build a community around their game?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, start early. And it starts with you communicating, one, what is this game? And how are you reaching me? That's a key. So how are you reaching me? You can do it through paid ads. When people respond to that ad, respond to them. If you are, you know, starting out, people want to know who the heck you are. You're a first-time designer. You can show pictures of your game and be like, hey, I need some feedback, you know, on a box cover. And they're like, hey, this is a box cover. Can you tell me what you think? You're getting free feedback. You're engaging with the community. There's a little bit of hype and explanation to it, you know, that you get to have. But that also requires you to do a little bit of contribution to the community as well, of just having conversations, being in there, talking about games you like randomly, and not injecting promotion in there, and then getting an opportunity to promote through that. You have to be committed to these things. They cost you not physical cash, but they do cost you time. And you have to decide if you want to invest that time. And that's not always going to lead to everything being worked out and everybody's going to love you. It's the boots on the ground stuff that turn into, you know, 200 people that at least turn you, you know, turn over 30 backers. And depending on your funding goal, that may be great. You know, like,
yeah, that could be 10% of your funding goal.
It may be great or it may not. Let's say you have a cooperative game. Maybe you just want to comment on a cooperative game. And just by default, like just by some things they say, you're like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to post my link here, but I do have a game. It's called Deliverance. It's coming out. And it does this really interesting thing that's just like this. Doesn't mean that you're trying to say like this game is bad. You're just saying, hey, like, I have a similar thing that I thought was really neat because I saw this and it was like kind of cool. I kind of got inspired by it. And that's the thing. Planting these seeds, creating a community, and then supporting it. I often tell people when they have community groups, there's a great value in making people salivate through pictures. But free playtesting is awesome. Talking to people about random things that may relate to your topic. Orange Nebula does a great job of this. They have Unsettled and they have all these other campaigns. They just post weird science stuff like on their community page. Like, that's pretty crazy. Like, crazy things that are happening in science, like out in the world, you know, just anything. It could be any kind of stuff that's going on. And they have people who respond to that. They talk about it and they post links. That lets you know right there that they have engaged community. They have this audience that they interact with. They don't just post what I call like banner pictures and just go like, ooh, we're hype. You know, like, we're so excited, guys. I want to remind you how excited we are about our project. Like, it's going to be awesome. Like, yeah. Who cares? Like after 32 posts like that, I just picked a number. Like, who really cares?
You know? Yeah. If you run your own Facebook group for your own board game, I mean, I have Deliverance Game Insiders right now, and it's got like 1,600 members and it's been around for a long time. I mean, there's only so much art that I want to share, right? I don't want to just be like, hey guys, here's every single map tile in the game. You know, I could probably do that, right? But I mean, I think the variety of content for your own group is really important. You know, thinking about, you know, I mean, just asking questions like, what are you guys going to play this weekend? You know, and then Monday rolls around. What'd you guys
play? What are you playing? What are you playing? I don't care about what they're playing. What are you playing? You are a human. You are a person. They like you. Maybe they like your product. They want to like you too. You have them. Who are you? You could give away a game that gets people ignited again. Like a game, any game that you love, you know, like, you know, just take a $50 game and do a giveaway within your group. It gets people like coming back to your page that haven't been back to your page. You say you have 1,600 people, you may have 500 yeah. active members. Like, you know, ignite those people, bring them back and say, hey, and then we're going to announce the Kickstarter date live. You know, like that's exciting. Like these are exciting things. If you get 100% conversion rate, they are the most excited 1,600 people. That could fund your game ASAP. That could potentially fund your game ASAP. So you should be trying to get them excited.
I agree with that. You want 100%. You know,
right.
That's I think, really the key is that, you know, it's not about just banking emails or, you know, banking group members, you know, a private group at, you know, 1.6K. If it gets no engagement, mm-hmm. then there's not really a whole lot of value there. But it's so much about, you know, some of the things that you were talking about earlier. You were talking about, you know, really just what boils down to engage people, you know, let them, you know, share with them, let them share with you. And if these yeah. people are, if you're giving them enough information that they feel like they're actually learning about the product to be able to make an educated decision for themselves, that's when you turn them from kind of a curious, I don't know, like a looky-loo type person looking, just investigating, to a rabid fan.
Looky-loo, I love right? this guy.
The rabid fan that's going to tell 100 people, you know. I've got people that have told me like, yeah, our church is ready to jump behind your game when it launches. And yeah. because I talked to the pastor and he watched the video and he thought that was cool. And so
excited and ignited, you know, yep. like, and when they're ignited, you know, like they're ignited, they go and work for you. And I hate to say work for you, but it's like they get it going, yep. you know, and that's what you want. You want people to get it going and stay getting it going. You have to do the work. You have to yep. do the work.
Absolutely. You know, one thing that yeah. That you mentioned that I really have done a lot of kind of research and, you know, kind of to figure out is just that, you know, you have a rate where people just get burned out on the hype. And, you know, if you announce your yeah. game a year in advance or something like that and you start marketing and building the hype train, it will build. And then all of a sudden, you know, the hype train leaves the station a little too early and people just yeah. kind of get they cool off. And they wonder, you know, I have some people yeah. for deliverance, you know, you can't help it. If you have a game that you've been working on a long time, some people that got really excited and come back every 6 months and are like, is this on Kickstarter yet? You know, and yep. it's like, yep. well,
or like you have an admin for your group, right? Because you're like, I got 1,600 people. I don't have all day to look at this. Nothing wrong with that. You have admins, right? They're approving things there, whatever. And then you go and there's 32 approvals yep. sitting there. Or the admin's like, I don't have enough time to do this anymore. That yeah. is a signal. That could have been your most one of the first initial three people who were like, oh man, this is like I'm an admin. Da, da, da. They're just like, I don't even have time for it. That means
right,
they don't care.
Right.
You know, like so you got one of your top three fans, your three admins, that are being like, well, clearly they don't care about the activity that's going on here. I wonder what's going on here. You know, because I have enough work.
And Jeremy, do you offer a service where you sort of do website audits or you do Kickstarter landing page audits? Is that part of a service that you offer?
Back in the day before I was with MVM, I did that. But like, I don't want to also have conflict of interest if you're doing that and you hire me as well for a preview. What I would just say is like, it's free for me to look at it. It's just that I may not prioritize it as much. But if you're paying me to do it, then I have to take that very seriously because it's a contract in a sense, right? And I want to make sure that it's valuable. I don't expect you to like, you know, hail to me and, you know, there's another little thing that you, I want you to hire me. I want you to be specific on the things that you want and we'll figure that out. We'll figure out the rate. We'll figure out all that stuff like that. Cause I'm not here to drain people's pockets who are trying to launch their dreams. You know,
yeah.
I want people who work their butts off, who are putting the right product forward that I agree with putting myself out there for to make a good product. You know,
one thing I'd love to do before we wrap up here is if you wouldn't mind sharing, how can people find you? Where are your videos? You know, what's Jambalaya Plays Games?
Put it like this. If you're on Facebook, you can find me. If you're interested in board games, you can find me. I work in a lot of community groups. I share a lot of I get early looks at. A lot of people give me a lot of publishers and marketing people that work with publishers give me a lot of information to share. I actually share that information, not like, hey, I got this thing coming out. This is the buzz, da 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 da, and then I don't share it. I actually share it. So like, and I kind of get into the conversation. If I played it, I play a lot of things behind the scenes, a lot of play testing, different stuff like that. So I can talk about it. That's one thing that I do a lot of. That's for free. That's something that you can send to me, give to me. You can find me. My email address is Jamba, like part of Jambalaya, PG, like point guard, at gmail.com. You can find most of my videos and preview coverage on Man vs. Meeple. That is a YouTube page where we do previews, reviews, and several other pieces of content to talk about games. If you want us to talk about your games, you need to communicate those things to us so we can decide if we are excited about it or not. Jambalaya Plays Games is almost a dead site, but I'm actually going to bring it back here with a little bit of force coming in April. I'm taking a little bit of a hiatus. You can also catch me. This is actually a good place to catch me now. Would be in my Jambalaya Plays Games community group, and that's where I'm going to be broadcasting live from a lot, because that's where I do a lot of live stuff. That's going to be doing a lot of live things inside of there and testing inside of there. Like calling to play games with me in there. Designers can play the games with me in there and we can have fun. And it's not a gigantic group, but it's like I said, you can have 500, 600 people in a group. Converting 30 to 100 of them is a lot of money, you know, and I have people in my group that are active. I have people in my group that like talk about games. They lurk, and I know those lurkers. I know them from other groups.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's episode of Crowdfunding Nerds. We would like to thank our special guest, Jeremy Howard, contributor of Man vs. Meeple and the Dice Tower, as well as a social media personality. For more information on Jeremy, you can visit his Facebook group at Jambalaya PG, or his videos on YouTube under Jambalaya Plays Games, and his email at jambapg@gmail.com. And we'll see you next week, nerds. Adios.
Later, nerds.
See ya.